Thank you very much, Fee. So it's now time for the sermon. If you want to do colouring or play at the back, then feel free. There's Anna and Lizzie there. So, but do what you like. So, it's August. It's free. So the house upon the rock is like a really common parable that Jesus gave. You know, it's really well known. And it's just that sense. I think the challenge for us is we rely on certain things in our life, don't we? You know, we say, oh, we're married, maybe, or we have a career, or maybe we have a family around us that support us, and maybe we have good health. And we can say, well, this gives us stability in our life. You know, that in these days of so many issues with mental health, you know, just the fact that you're mentally well is a huge kind of blessing. So for many of us, we have those kind of legs on the ground that we can go, okay, I'm stable. But what if one of those disappears? What if we go through a period of ill health, or maybe we have family breakup or whatever? Then three legs, we all know stools with three legs and they work fine. But when you get it down to two, that becomes really hard to cope with. So it's just that realization, what do we trust in our lives? Where is our foundation? So this appears to be one of the most straightforward, simple, humorous of the parables of Jesus. And anyone listening to Jesus' story, doesn't matter where you are, it could be in India, it could be in Asia, could be China, Africa, wherever, you would understand it, wouldn't you? Because there's this foolish builder that's deciding, I'm in a rush, I need to build a house, I'll just plonk it on this bit of sand. And then the wise builder who spends a lot of time and energy and he builds a house that's going to be secure, whatever. That appeals to everyone. You hear stories, don't you, of maybe earthquakes or something that causes destruction of houses that should have survived the earthquake or the storm, but yet they're built to a substandard. And so they have issues. And often it's the poor people that are most affected by those floods and wind. So the story is generally known as the parable of the house upon the rock. And fortunately, I have no DIY skills. I'll tell you that now. But so fortunately for me is that this isn't about how to build a house, really. It's about how we build our lives. Jesus says, look at the way that you live your life. So the man who built his house on the sand may have been really lucky for some years. He may have sat in that house and watched the poor man building his house on the rock with really superior techniques and gone, well, it's fine here. I'm living a good life here. I can enjoy, I can relax. But then suddenly the storm comes along, maybe the unexpected storm, the once in a 100-year storm, and his house falls flat. And maybe that endangers his life or affects him in some big way, but he's now homeless. So all his security around having a house is gone. Sometimes I think more and more, perhaps in the West, in certain parts of the West, we feel that we should be living a perfect life. You know, everything's happy, wonderful, it's all good. We watch the adverts on telly or on social media and think, yeah, you know, everything's great. We can make a family like this, or we can have relationships like this, and it can all be good. And I've known people, having been in Rington for some 20 years, I've known people that have got married, they've moved, they've had successful businesses, they moved to bigger and bigger houses, and then maybe the pressure of life or whatever, the relationship has broken down. And then the person, they go back to two smaller houses. And that is really deeply affecting if you're depending on that for your security. So it really challenges you about where your security is. And I think for some of us who've had really good childhoods, maybe we've had great Christian parents, and we've grown up securely and we've had fairly uneventful childhoods, that can be really great, can't it? And it gives us a really secure way of living. We know what it is from our parents how to be married, and we know how to live. But for many people, their lives start off as hell and they continue as hell from right from when they're born. They're really hard. Not everyone gets through childhood in the easy way that perhaps, well, that I did. So when I'm preparing a sermon, I listen to what the text says to me, first of all. Because if it doesn't say anything to me, then it's kind of, I'll go and talk about something else, because it's got to be a challenge to me. If you observe that my life had no effect, so I came here and I preached on a Sunday and took a service, and I was all smiley, but the rest of my life I was really bad-tempered, and you saw me walking down the road in right state, or beeping the horn at people in a really irate way, then you'd be thinking, well, how does that fit with the person on a Sunday who's all smiley and everything looks cool? So the truth has to be allowed to go deeper. We can't behave in a way that shows that we're not affected by what's said at all. Remember Rob Bell, who's one of my kind of Christian heroes, or somebody I respect deeply. He had a huge church, 15,000 people that he founded, and he had to leave the church early one day, and he had a huge car park outside, and people were having a go at each other. They were swearing at each other, trying to get out of the car park at the end of the service. And he said, that's no good, because these people, they've all listened, they've sung the songs, they've maybe applauded me or whatever and think I'm a great guy. But actually, what I say has no effect on them at all. They just carry on behaving in the same way. And so he walked away from that church and then sought to build another one. I think there are times in our life when God gives us warnings, or there are warnings about what might happen if we don't listen. So, for instance, I took the car for a service a few weeks ago, and the mechanic said, great, and he gave me a bill, and he said, oh, by the way, he said, your brake pads are beginning to go, you need to get them changed in 6 months' time, they need to be changed. And so I said, thank you very much. Now, if I just walked away from that and thought, yeah, it's all fine, and then in a year's time, the brake pads failed, I'd be thinking, well, that is stupid, because I've not listened to that person. I've listened to them, but I haven't taken it on board. And that seems to have happened a few times in my life. I remember when I was working, I think I was in my 20s then, and I was working and I had lunchtime, went to the park. It was one of those beautiful summer days, you know, where it's not too hot, not too cold, it's a nice breeze, and just sat in the park, had my sandwiches, read a book, and just thought really at peace with the world. And then going back to work, there was all sorts of issues that suddenly blown up, and my life was quite traumatic for quite a while. And looking back, I kind of feel that God had given me that moment in order to prepare me for what lay ahead. So sometimes it's only in retrospect that we understand what God's doing, but I hope that as we continue our lives, we'll see what God is saying to us more in front of what's going to happen rather than in looking back. Much larger issue, maybe somebody who has cancer, they're told you have to go through chemo and there has to be a daily visit to hospital and times of chemo. And then there's that kind of feeling at the end of it that you should be fine. So you're prepared to go through the pain in order to listen to medical specialists. But what happens when you're told that the cancer is terminal? What happens when the marriage ends in divorce? Maybe there are issues with childlessness. Where do we get our strength from then? Where do we get our strength from? So yesterday I went to, I don't know, some of you know Phil and Bernice, they go to Winscombe Lynch, and they celebrated their 60th wedding anniversary. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? Both of you have got to live into your 80s to start with, and then you've still got to stay married. And it was a lovely time. There were 61 people there, and that was really good. And we sat on the table. I sat next to somebody I didn't know at all, and she was telling me about a situation in her life where she was engaged with somebody, they were about to be married in 6 weeks' time, and then all of a sudden, one morning, he just died of a heart attack. And so she was left absolutely bereft by that. But she said it was a really hard time, but if she hadn't had her faith, then she doesn't know how she'd have got through. So that's not to say that
it's to say that the bedrock underneath it all is to be our trust in Jesus Christ and the fact that he works in our hearts for good. So all these things, the issues that we might face in our life, can be surmounted if we're not dependent on our well-being for what happens outside. So I used to go and watch Bristol City regularly, and one of the things that kind of put me off a bit was the absolute obsession of people around me that Bristol City had to win everything and they were the best team in the world. And I kind of learned that that wasn't just them being funny, that was their absolute sincere commitment. And I thought, well, how does that work when you don't do very well one season and when you start losing matches? How does it work? So it's what you put your trust in. You can put your trust in things that will prove wanting, or you can trust in something that is solid. And I think we would all agree that a relationship with Jesus is not an easily won thing. It's a lifetime building a relationship with Jesus. Very slow build. We're told, first of all, to make him the cornerstone. So that is the very bedrock of our house, is to be Jesus. The very first stone which is laid, and the house is built around it. And you may have come to realise that God works generally very slowly, but he also works thoroughly. I always take quite good heart in that, because I hope, and I might be wrong in saying this, I hope that that means that I've got a long life, because God takes so incredibly slow time with me, and it seems to be very thorough. So God is very patient, and I learn the lessons and then I forget them, and then I have to relearn them all the time. So it must be endlessly frustrating for him. The hurricanes and floods will still affect us, but they will not destroy the house of ourself, because we'll be trusting in Jesus. In the book of Proverbs, we're encouraged to mine for wisdom like it's silver and gold. So that means dig deep. It's a real committed exercise. We can ask for wisdom. God promises to give us wisdom, but at the same time, we're to spend our lives focused on learning more about God and knowing God more. And so many people are broken these days, post-COVID especially. So many, it's not just people of a certain age, it's all people, all through the years. I've known people in their 20s that are broken by life, living on the surface very successful, very sociable lives, but yet underneath broken by anxiety, broken by fear. Mental health issues, just like dry rot in your lives. I don't know if you've seen a home with dry rot, but it seems all right on the outside. Inside, it's being destroyed. So what do I do when I meet with those people? Well, firstly and mainly, to ground themselves in Jesus. Listening to worship music, reading Bible passages, reading spiritual books, they urgently need to find their rock. And you know, there's things that happen in life that you can see coming from a mile off, and then there's things that happen that just sideswipe us, don't they? We carry along very happily, like my day and my lunchtime in the park, and then suddenly something comes and we don't know what's hit us. And I think the encouragement, the challenge for us, is to keep in touch with the Holy Spirit. So I have a mechanic that's the expert, I hope, with my car. I have other people who are experts in other ways. I have a spiritual director that I go to, things like that. But the Holy Spirit is the expert in working in our lives. So as Fee read earlier, it's not just hearing Jesus' words. So you come here, hopefully quite often, and you hear the words from the Bible, often they're words from Jesus. And it's not like we can just sit here and not take them in at all and go away and, as I said, pretend that nothing has happened, nothing has affected us. Jesus says the difference between the person who builds his house on the rock and the person who builds his house on the sand is doing what Jesus says. As easy and as complicated as that. One of the things I love about the gospel is that the very youngest child can believe in it, and the most sophisticated philosopher can believe in it. Church that I was involved in, they had a professor of Old Testament Hebrews. Hebrew went along to that church. Always used to scare me witless, but he sat there quite happily, I think. So James, the Apostle James, wrote in his letter, "Don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says." And it seems sometimes, doesn't it, that everything in the world is set up to pull us away from God. To pull us away from God. Our feelings sometimes pull us towards doing the exact opposite of what the Bible says. But a wise man, a wise woman will follow the words of God despite these pressures. So Jesus is the final authority. Everything about the Bible is about Jesus. I know people say, well, I don't really worry too much about the Old Testament. It's all about the New Testament. Where did Jesus get his teaching from? The Old Testament. Where did the early church get their teaching from? The Old Testament. There wasn't a New Testament until AD 50 or so, the beginnings of that. So it's a reminder that we're to read the Bible and let it build our life. Learn from it. The Apostle Paul said, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Now, I'm taking the address at Hannah and Dan's wedding next Saturday, and that's a wonderful privilege to be able to do that. But it's just a reminder that when we love someone else, that love originates from God. God is the originator of love. All love, in John's letter it says, all love comes from God. So I'd like to finish by reading the opening verses of the first psalm. Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So life will come along, and there'll be moments of times of great joy, times of great sadness. That's kind of inevitable, I think. But whatever happens, God will bring it to good. God will be there beside you. The Holy Spirit will walk with you through those times. So trust, dig deep. When you have the opportunity, dig deep. Make your foundation strong. Amen.